Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
If I were to ask you a simple question, the question of, who are you? How would you introduce yourself? If I were to ask you that, what describe yourself to me a little bit. What kind of answer would you give me? What kind of thoughts pop into your head when I say that? Can you describe yourself a little bit? Who makes you you? What makes you you? There are different ways we can answer that question, isn't there? Aren't there? You might describe yourself by the country that you're from, or where you grew up, or where you live. You might describe yourself by what you do, like maybe your job, maybe a part of an association or a group that you're part of, or maybe the school that you attend, or maybe what you're actually studying to become, right? You may describe yourself by your hobbies, right? Well, I like to do this. These are what my interests are. This is a sport that I play. I enjoy playing this sport. And you might describe yourself in that way. You may describe yourself by your relationships. These are my parents are so-and-so, or this is my son, or these are my children. Sometimes I am known by Asher's dad. Asha-kun no papa, you know, Asher's dad. That's how people know me, you know. That's the way I am described by, right? I can describe myself in that way, the relationships that I have. Another way you might describe yourself is your personality. You know, this is something that I am. This is the personality, the character trait that I have that kind of fits me, that describes who I am. You may describe yourself by your past, what you did, who you were before. Maybe you're retired and this is the thing I used to do, or this is the position I used to hold. There's all different kinds of ways and many other ways that I didn't talk about that we use to describe who we are as a person. And they reveal us, right? They reveal who we are. Now, it's true that each description in and of itself does not give a whole picture of who we are, right? We get that. But it does fill in details. And each description, each way you reveal, each different part of how you reveal yourself gives us a better understanding of the big picture of who you are. It's like a painting, and in that painting, you're filling in little details, the big picture of who you are. And each of those descriptions fill in a little bit more of that, giving us a more complete, a more clear picture of who you are, right? The more you describe, the clearer and more complete the picture of you becomes. In the same way, when you put your faith in Jesus, there are also many ways to reveal who you are as someone who is, as the Bible describes, in Christ, right? Just as each description of you as a person reveals a little bit more of who you are, so also each description of who you are in Jesus reveals a little bit more of the big picture of who you are in Christ as a Christian. Here's the amazing thing. The Bible is filled with all kinds of small descriptions that fill in, that give little details of the big picture of who you are in Jesus, filled with them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful mosaic that fills in a wonderful picture of who you are in Jesus. The more details you fill in to that complete picture, that big picture of who you are in Jesus, the more clearer the image becomes. These details are critical for us to know what it means to be in Christ. So over the next few months, we're going to look at it. We're going to look at the small details that help us to get the big picture of our identity, who we are in Jesus. It is important, though, for us to start this journey to understand who we are in Jesus by at least getting an overall view of the big picture, right? Let's get an overall view of the big picture to see what it actually means for someone to be in Christ. And it's important we get this big picture so that the rest of the details make a lot more sense as we get into them in later on in our series. So to help us understand this big picture of who we are in Jesus, we're going to take a look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, the Bible describes an amazing thing that happens to you. You become a new creation. And it's describing the beginning of a new life in you, right? You become a new creation. And a new creation is new life, right? So what exactly is this new life that comes from becoming a new creature, a new creation? Well, to understand this new creation, we need to go to the first creation, the original creation, the first person that God created and gave life, which is Adam, right? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we find this new creation, this creation of God creating man, the first person to be created by God. In Genesis 2, 7, the Bible says this: "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." When God breathed life into Adam, he made Adam alive in two ways. The first way is the physical life. In this context, he was alive physically in the context of his soul interacted with and was connected to the physical world through his body. His soul was connected and interacted with the physical world through his body. Through his body, he was able to enjoy the things, the physical aspects that God had created for him. And the second way was he was alive spiritually. What does that mean? It means that his soul was able to interact with God, his creator, through his spirit. In the same way that he was able to communicate and interact with the physical world, he was also able to communicate and interact with God, his creator, in a perfect and unbroken relationship. And it was this life in both aspects, both the physical and the spiritual, in which this living soul called Adam was able to interact with and live life through. This is an amazing thing. After God created Adam, he created and he prepared a place for him to be. A massive, beautiful, perfect garden of paradise called Eden. God allowed Adam to live in that as he spent time getting to more fully know who he was in his heavenly Father. More fully know his creator. And the Bible says in Genesis 2, just a few verses down from this, in verse 15, he says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Verse 16 says this: "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Unfortunately, Adam did not obey God. He chose to sin against God by disobeying him and eating the fruit that God had told him not to. And just as God had said, Adam died. It wasn't a physical death like you and I would think of when we think of somebody dying. Although the physical process of death did happen then, the death that is described here is much worse than physical death. It was his spirit that died. Just as physical death cuts us off from the physical world, his spiritual death cut him off from his Creator. He no longer had that beautiful, unbroken relationship with God, his Creator. He no longer had that beautiful connection to his Heavenly Father. From that time, not only did Adam suffer from that spiritual death, but those who followed and were born after Adam carried that part of Adam's broken DNA of spiritual death, being separated from God. As people, you and I, we have all, as people, learned to live with this broken spiritual death. And even worse, we've become comfortable with it. Comfortable with living independent of God. Living instead of for our Creator, for our own selves. 2 days ago, I asked somebody if he was interested in Christianity, and the response he gave me was this: you know, I think Christians are really good people, but I try to live my life as much as I can where I don't need God. And this is, I think he hit it spot on. I think this is the way most people, humanity, lives life. It's actually true for every one of us in this room as well, right? Before we met Jesus, we lived for ourselves, independent of God. But this is not the way we were designed to live. We were never designed to live life without God. We were designed to need God. And this is the very reason Jesus came to us to take care of the greatest fundamental need that we have, which is to remove this separation that we have from our Creator. And to do that, to resolve the separation from our Creator, he went to the source of the problem. He went to the source of that separation, which was our spiritual death. We were dead. We couldn't come back to life on our own. Jesus came to give us life. Ephesians 2 says it this way: but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We have been rescued. We have been given life. This is an amazing thing. What is this life that's quickened us, made us alive together with Christ? What kind of life did Jesus give? Clearly, it's not physical life, because physical life is given to everybody, regardless of whether we follow Jesus or not. Jesus makes us alive spiritually. How does he do it? It's not anything we do, because just a few verses down, we see in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 8, go back to verse 8, it says this: the life that we have, this life, this spiritual life that is given to us, is because God is gracious and kind to us. And the only part we have in all of this, this gracious act of life, is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. God, I know I've lived my life apart from you. I've only been living for myself, and I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me and save me. Give me spiritual life. Simple trust and faith is our part. Everything else is given to us by God. God gives the beautiful gift of life to anyone who puts his faith in Jesus. This new life is what once again reconnects our soul to God. Think about that. This is an amazing thing to think about. And it is this new life that is in us, the spiritual life that God creates, Jesus creates in us, that makes all things new, that makes us a new creation. And this is that creation that 2 Corinthians is talking about. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians something or other, I can't remember where it was. I can't remember. I put it in there. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. This is that creation that God is talking about. He's a new creature. And that new creation, that new creature is what we're talking about here. With that new creation comes a new identity. A brand new set of ways that describe who you are, not only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. It's a brand new way of identifying yourself that is totally different from our physical identity. We do have that physical identity, but we also become a brand new spiritual person, a new man. That is described in Colossians 3. If you go to Colossians 3, it says, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And this is interesting, this identity with this new creation, this new life that bursts out in you, comes a brand new identity. And it's not the identity that we usually pick up, like these different ways in which people identify themselves. That's a physical identifier. But we're talking about a brand new identifier. And that identity comes from the very source of our spiritual life. This is literally why we are in Christ, because He is the very source of our identity. This phrase, in Christ, is all-encompassing. It's every aspect of who we are as followers of Jesus. And this is so amazing. That birth, that spiritual birth that happens. It's such an interesting thing. Go back with me to verse 10, because this is really interesting. You and I, as believers in Christ, why is it so important that we get who we are in Jesus? Why is it important that we take time to get this? Verse 10 gives us the answer to that question. It says, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. To be honest with you, this wording is a little confusing. I struggled with this. I probably had to study just this for probably an hour, hour and a half, just to kind of figure out, okay, what is this saying, right? And so let me walk through this with you together, because it's really worth it. It's worth digging through what this verse is saying, because it helps us a lot in understanding who we are in Jesus. As one who has put your faith in Jesus, you have put on the new man. Right? You have put on the new man. It's describing the new life you have, your new identity. And this new life is patterned after the image of its creator, after the image of him that created him, this new man. Who is the creator of this new man? It's Jesus. Just like in Genesis, remember where God said, in Genesis, let us make man in our image. This new creation is no different. We are created in the image of our Creator, Jesus. Our spiritual new life is created in that very same image of Jesus. But this time, it's a process. And this verse is describing that process. It is a continual process of renewal. like, and this word renewal is like a renovation. Like, here's the outside of the house, and then we're renovating the inside of the house. In the same context, we're renovating the inside, the spirit. It's a brand new renewal process. It's a renovation process that takes place in our new life as we grow in our knowledge of the one who created us. Here's what it means. The more you know Jesus, the more it will help you to know who you are in Jesus. The more you know who you are in Jesus, the more it will help you to be conformed into His image. This is really important for us to get. The more you know Jesus, the more you know who you are in Jesus. The more you know who you are in Jesus, the more it will help you to grow into the image of the one who created this new life in you. The most important thing that you can know in your life is an accurate, true understanding of your Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus through His Spirit who lives in you. And the second most important thing you can know is an accurate, true understanding of who you are in Jesus. Our knowledge of these two things will determine how we act and how we live. This pattern of knowing who Jesus is and then knowing who we are in Jesus and then knowing how to be changed into His image, this pattern is consistently seen throughout the New Testament. We studied Ephesians, the whole letter of Ephesians, 6 chapters. It's very interesting that the first 3 chapters describe who we are as children of God. Paul dedicates the whole first half of the letter saying, this is what it means to be God's child. After everybody gets that really well, then he says, now here's how you live in the last 3 chapters. This is how you live as God's child. We see this all the time. Paul tells us, this is who you are. Now live like you are designed to be. And this is also true for us as we are followers and those who are in Christ. Let's see who we are in Jesus. Let's see that source of life in us. Let's understand our new identity, the one, the image in whom we are created after. And then let's let that change us into the image of the one who created us. So for the next few months, we are going to dig into this big picture of who we are in Jesus. We're going to look at how Jesus creates us, gives life in us, and what that life entails. We're going to fill in all the little details of the big picture of who we are in Jesus. But this isn't just for others to see. This is for us to be able to recognize who we are and let it change us. And after that result changes us, after we see who Jesus is, after we see who we are in Jesus, and after that change happens in us, people will start to see what an amazing creator our Jesus is in giving us this life, this creation, the fact that you and I are a brand new creation, patterned after the image of Jesus Christ who came to us to give us life on the cross. What an amazing thing. We're going to learn so much, and I can't wait. But remember this. You in Jesus. You in Jesus. Who am I? Who am I in Jesus? First, I am a new creation. Jesus gave me life. And it is a glorious, wonderful life that Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory, everything I have, everything I am is because I am in Jesus. I am in Christ. And so are you. Remember that. Think about that. Over the next months, learn what it means to be in Christ and let it change you. Because the more you know, the more it will change you. Let's pray. Father, first, thank you for giving us physical life. Just as Adam had been given physical life and spiritual life, so You also provide for us physical and spiritual life. In the physical realm, we are full of, we see constantly and consistently the blessings that you give to us. We just spent Thanksgiving being reminded of all of the physical things and the physical ways in which you provide for us and bless us. But it isn't just the physical that you bless us with, it's the spiritual as well. Help us to see that and help us to reflect on that. Help us to recognize that that is who we are. It is our identity. It's who we are. And help that to change how we live. To see the confidence that we have because we are in Jesus, the assurance that we have because we are in Christ, and all of the other different aspects of knowing who we are in you, to change how we respond and how we live this life as those who are in Christ. Help us to have that life that is full of abundance and joy because our spirit is born again, just as we have life in the physical. In Jesus' name, amen.